It's the 19th hole with Michael Williams.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the 19th hole. I'm your host, Michael Williams, doing my best to bring you the best of the best of the best of the best in golf and golf lifestyle. This is another winter day here in the Washington, D.C. area where I'm recording this thing, but hopefully it's warm where you are. And you're thinking about golf a little bit. When I think about golf right now, I'm thinking about two things, and both of them are travel related. One of them is, where am I going to play golf? Where am I going to go? And number two, once I get there, how am I getting around? You know, how am I getting my clubs from point A to point B on the golf course? Fortunately for you and for me, the guests that we have this week specialize in those two things respectively. First off, we have Bud Garmany, who is one of the best known names in golf travel. And his company, Garmany Golf, gives you the entire world. They put the world at your disposal, the world of golf anyway, the places that you want to go, the places that you want to see, both on the course and off the course, which is becoming more popular now with this generation of golfers that are new to the game, interested in the game, but also interested in other things. And Bud is a specialist. He is a master at getting those things to the golfer. So we'll have Bud Garmany from Garmany Golf telling us about where to go and what to do once we get there. Also, we'll have the lads from Moto Caddy. Moto Caddy is the number one name in the world for electric carts. And it's something that's really catching on here in the United States. We had seen it, just the spark of it a couple of years ago. And now it's starting to catch fire. And Moto Caddy is by far the leader in this. So we'll talk a little bit about how the company came to be, what they have available now, and what they have available in the very near future, and also about the future of the game and how people are getting around the golf course and what that means to us and to them. It's going to be a fascinating conversation, and I don't think that you want to miss it. It's just a cool time in golf. There's so many interesting people that are doing interesting things. Over the next couple of weeks, you're going to see some of the most fascinating, I think, individuals who have these great new ideas for golf. And when you talk about Bud Garmany and you talk about Moto Caddy, I think those are two of the people. They have a lot of experience in the game, but that experience leads them to think of things that are new. They don't think about doing necessarily what has already been done. They think about what if we could do this? What if we could go to this place? And what if we could get clubs around from A to B in a much more efficient way, in a much more friendly way, in a much more healthy way? I think all these ideas are great for the game. They're great for golf. They're great for a lot of things. But most of all, they're great for you. So we're going to talk to those people in a minute. So in the meantime, why don't you go get yourself a cold beverage and an extremely crunchy snack, and we'll be right here when you return. Michael Williams, 19th hole.
Hi, Michael. This is Barbara Nicholas. You've got a great voice. We love hearing what you have to say, and we wish you the best for many years.
Welcome back to the 19th hole. Michael Williams, your host. I love the travel part of golf. I mean, golf is great in so many ways. The way you meet people and the places you get to play and getting better. You know, we've talked about that over the last couple of weeks. Just getting better through instruction, through better equipment. That's getting better. But the thing I love the most is the places that you go. You can just see the world through golf and have that be your entry point into so many cultures, so many countries. I've had the opportunity to do that. More and more people are taking the opportunity because more and more people are playing the game. I could sit here and give you a first-year lecture on the thing, but someone who can give you a fourth-year doctorate degree in travel golf, is someone who I've had the pleasure to meet and know for a number of years. He is just a master of all things travel golf and also one heck of a nice guy. Please welcome president of Garminy Golf, Bud Garminy, to the 19th hole. How are you, my friend?
I'm great, brother. I'm just living the dream. I'm just coming back from Pebble Beach, where we had just last week our 10th annual Garminy Golf Pebble Beach Pro-Am, and the weather was amazing. Pebble Beach was, as always, incredible, and just continue living the dream, brother. It's good to be back here.
Well, it's good to have you back, and we'll put a pin in that Pebble Beach thing, because me and a couple friends would like to come and see you out there. Pebble Beach is kind of a special place. Is that where you're based, by the way, out in that Pebble Beach area?
No, we're actually based in Los Angeles. I mean, okay. We have a very much a global team. We've got teammates in England, the Midwest, the Southeast. We've also got teammate in Spain. So we're pretty global, but I'm based in Los Angeles.
Okay, gotcha. And we'll talk about that global thing and how that works with golf these days. But I guess I want to start off with an examination of the new golfer, because we've all heard all these reports about how many new people are coming into the game every year. I think this is the fourth or fifth straight year we've had double-digit increases in the number of golfers that have come into the game. And I just want to know how that is for you as a business. Who do you see playing the game now? And almost more importantly, what do they really want from the game? What are they loving about golf? What makes it attractive to that group of people?
You know, Michael, I think for me, that's kind of a two-part question, right? But absolutely, you're right that there's a whole influx of a ton of new golfers to the game, which is great for all of us. I mean, we love seeing the game grow, and particularly since the pandemic, that has happened. And, you know, as I intersect with those golfers around the world that are new to the game, new to playing the game, you know, I would say to your point or to your question, what do they want? You know, I think entertainment and expediency are two things that come to mind, right? The new golfer, you know, while we always respect the tradition of the game, and that's one of the things that make it so incredibly cool for all of us, whether you're new to it or been around it 100 years, you know, we also understand the times that we live in, right? A little bit more fast paced. And, you know, hopefully the days of the 5-hour round are going by the wayside, and expediency, play a little bit faster, but no less fun. I think there's that aspect to it. But for us, in terms of the travel component, I think it takes a golfer a few years of being in the game and, you know, growing in the game before they go, wait a minute, I can travel around the world. I can go do this same thing that I do here at my municipal course in my hometown. I can do that in Portugal or New Zealand or Australia or Scotland or Ireland. So there's a little bit of a lag effect between taking up the game, getting into the game, and then traveling and experiencing the game globally.
No, that's a very interesting point. And what I want to ask now is, has that traveling golfer changed? For example, do we have a new group, a younger group, a more well-to-do group coming into the game? Or is it that we have the same group of people that is traveling, just more of them because more people are coming into the game?
Yes, yes, and yes. So the answer to the question, you know, the new people that are the new golfers that are traveling, I think what you're seeing is that as they skew younger, they maybe don't have the, you know, the 10 to 14 days that someone who's kind of at the, you know, the near their retirement age, let's say, right? You got the younger person who's got the 2.5 kids and at home, they're not able to get away for that 10 to 14 days. So they're looking for that 3 to 5 day experience, right? Where they can pack a lot more in a shorter period of time. So that's that golfer, the younger golfer, if you will. I think what we've seen since the pandemic, Michael, is the emphasis on experience, right? Like if there's anything that the pandemic taught us, it's that life is short and not guaranteed. And so what we have is people that are leaning into the experiential element of it. So in other words, it's not just about, I want to go to Portugal and I want to be there for 8 nights and I want to play 8 rounds of golf. They want to do the walking tour of Lisbon. They want to go have dinner in a castle, or they want to have lunch in a vineyard. So there's the embracing of the experience that the pandemic has made us all kind of lean into. And that plays right into our wheelhouse, because Garminy is all about the experience.
Yeah, indeed. Oh, by the way, we're talking to Bud Garminy, the great Bud Garminy, here on the 19th hole. Michael Williams, your somewhat deserving host. But where are people playing now? Because I have an idea, because there are some groups and destinations that have been popular and will continue to be popular. But where are some of the most popular places to go for golf right now?
Well, you know, certainly there's the iconic standbys of, you know, Scotland and Ireland, because sure. I think that's, it's so unique. It's, you know, it's Lynx golf. It's something that we see on TV and, you know, the Open Championship and, you know, the European Tour. When we're watching those events, we go, hey, that's so different from the course that I play at home, right? So those are the stalwarts. But I think for us, we've seen a proliferation of what we call the emerging destinations, destinations like Portugal, New Zealand, Australia. I just hosted a group in South Africa last September. Absolutely life-changing there for 14 days. Only played 5 rounds of golf. The golf was fantastic. But for us, it was all about the wine tastings, the safari game drives. And so, it you know, it's those emerging destinations that are really catching our eye and the eye of people who've been traveling for a long time.
What about those destinations makes them popular for this new breed of golfers? I always talk about the golf and wellness, golf and cuisine, golf and history. And that's just something that I say. Is that something that you're seeing as well?
100%. I think, you know, I always tell people that, look, while I appreciate the fact that, you know, you want to go to Scotland or Ireland, you want to be there for 8 nights and you want to play 10 rounds of golf. What, if you do that, if you have an itinerary like that, what you've had is a Scottish golf experience or an Irish golf experience. But, mm-hmm. but if you go to a destination like that or a destination like South Africa and you do the game drives, or you go to Scotland and you go to 3 whiskey distilleries and you have a private dinner in a castle, what you had there was you had an authentic Scotland experience or an authentic South Africa experience. Or, you know, when you go to Lisbon and we do a 3-hour walking tour of Lisbon where we stop at the cafes and we have the coffees and a glass of port, you know, now you've had an authentic Portugal experience, right? And again, since the pandemic, we've seen a real emphasis on that. People leaning into the experience aspect of life.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing, actually, I think. There are some people who prefer to go and play, you know, 10 courses in 7 days. And I say, go with God, man, because I'd rather play 5 courses there, but also see the things that make that country and that place unique and special and someplace that you want to tell people that you went. So I'm really glad to hear the things that you're saying. One group of people who the golf industry has been pointed at for years and are making measurable inroads in is women, the female golfer. And are you seeing that group have a meaningful effect on where you're going, where the traveler is going, how long they stay, what they do, all of those things?
Boy, howdy, thank God, and it's about time.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, absolutely.
So I'll give you a quick example, and then I'll give you a larger sample size. Our recent Pebble Beach Pro-Am that I talked about earlier in our conversation here, I can remember, this was our 10th annual, I can remember being 6 years in, and we finally, after years of saying, we need a female PGA professional in our Pebble Beach Pro-Am, we finally got our first one. Maggie Simons from the Oregon Golf Club, great teaching instructor up there. She came to and played in our Pebble Beach Pro-Am and brought a team. And we were so excited, Michael, that we finally had a woman who was a female pro. I'm super excited to say that this past week, we had 3 female professionals in the field. We had our first all-female team, and I think we had a total of 9 females in the field. And so now, it's become an expectation, right? So I can remember so hard just trying to get our first, right? And now it's obviously a staple part of it. But on a larger sample size, I would say 50% of the Garmini experiences that we produce and execute each year are couples experiences, right? So that's 50% of the experience where you have a husband and a wife. Now, 30% of those spouses are non-golfing spouses. And we understand how important that non-golfing spouse is, because they probably, Michael, got drug along reluctantly, right? Like, fine, I'll go along on this golfing thing of yours, right? Well, we understand one clear thing, that if that non-golfing spouse has an amazing experience, they're probably tapping the golfer on the shoulder on the way home on the plane going, hey, this was pretty cool. Where else do these guys go, right? So right. So it may be selfishly motivated, but we certainly want to see the women get involved. I've had some women say to me recently, hey, my husband's been traveling a long time on these quote unquote golf trips, it's time for me to get even. So we love it. We love it when we see the women getting involved. But you're right. It's a neglected and a growing part of the game.
No, I think it's, again, as you said, about time. And it signals growth in the culture overall and in golf especially. And those are both good things. Let's talk a little bit about Garmany. How long have you existed? How did you get started in this whole business?
16 years, and I can't even believe that. I talked last week in our opening remarks at the Pebble Beach Pro-Am, you know, that it was 10 years. And I said, 10 years is a blank, and 16 years is a blank too. I remember, you know, we started Garmany in late 2009, early 2010, which, you know, for those of who are old enough to remember, that was the financial crisis, right? And it was like that. I used to be able to say that was the worst time in the history of the year to start a luxury travel business. Of course, now you got the pandemic, who's even preceded that. But yeah, 16 years, man. And it's just amazing. The most beautiful thing about reflecting doing it 16 years is the places I've been and the people I've had the opportunity to build relationships. And just, you know, as you know, this is a small universe that we live in, this golf universe, and there's no 6 degrees of separation. It's one at most, right? And so when you go to places around the world and to be able to say that, you know, I can set you up with a sommelier in New Zealand, you know, or a safari guide in South Africa, and to be able to call those people friends, it's one of the most unique things and most blessed things about what we do here.
It really is special. And I would ask then, who uses Garmany? Because I know that you're kind of the tour operator for the Stars. People who listen to the show regularly have heard the promo that I have with Jay Peterman / John O'Hurley, who I met through you, and he's a lovely guy. But I know that lots of people, both famous and nondescript, use Garmany Golf. Is there anything that makes them anything in common about that group of people?
Yeah, we like to think that we're kind of unique, Mike. I mean, everybody's special, right? But we like to think that we're kind of unique in this ecosystem, if you will. We always say that, you know, we don't do trips. We create experiences. And, you know, that may be just a tagline, but to us, it's way more than that. It's a culture. It's a way of being. Is that you talked about it early. When you go to a destination somewhere around the world, as you said, go with God, right? It's all about the cultural experience, the culinary experience, the overall experience of connecting with the community and the people. And, you know, I think that's what makes us unique, is that, you know, I talked about since the pandemic, how people are doubling down and leaning into the experiential aspect of it. Well, that was fortunate for us because that was our ethos from day one. We don't use the word trips and tours. We say that we create experiences. We don't have clients and customers. We have guests. We don't have employees. We say teammates. And, you know, when we first started out, Michael, people made fun of us a little bit and said, well, that's just vernacular. And I said, well, maybe, but here's the thing. It begins with kind of the way you think about it. That becomes how you are, and who you are becomes your character. And our character is one that we're passionate about creating the experiences for our guests and our teammates.
And I saw you go to about regularly about 10, 12 different countries, innumerable different destinations. Do I have those numbers about right?
Yeah, it's growing all the time. You know, people always say we're going to have we've got a big experience now, a group from San Diego that's going to Thailand and Vietnam. Wow. We've sent people to Thailand and Vietnam, but this is going to be our first big experience. And then I'm going to Japan in April, and I'm doing an extended comprehensive site visit. We're going to be adding Japan to our bucket list experiences. It's not as easy as just picking out a place on a globe and doing some research and finding a hotel. We don't send Garmany experiences anywhere where we haven't slept in the beds, eaten in the restaurants, know the concierge, know the maitre d', know the sommelier, know the caddy master, because it's those relationships that allow us to create a differentiated experience. So for us, it's a little bit more of a complex process than just, you know, throwing a pin on a map, but certainly the list of destinations where we do create Garmany experiences is growing all the time.
That sounds amazing, that the fact that you go there and you know the experience as well, so you're in a perfect position to recommend and feel confident about the situation and the experience that you're creating for your guests. That sounds like a plus to me. I got to ask you, though, because I've never asked you this, I don't think. You have the opportunity, the ability to go pretty much any place to play golf. Name me one place that you've been that you can't wait to go again, and name me one place that you haven't been that you can't wait to go.
Yeah, the one that I can't wait to go again, that's an easy one because it's fairly recent. I referenced it earlier, South Africa. I think South Africa, and it's interesting, you know, my international director of business development, Lee Derrick, who, you know, he's been with us since day one. He'd been telling me for the last 5 or 6 years, we're twin sons of different mothers. And he's been telling me, Twin, you got to go to South Africa. You got to go to South Africa. Lee had hosted probably 10 of our different Garmin experiences in South Africa, and it just hadn't got around to it. So finally, I hosted a group there in this past September and October. Michael, it was life-changing. It was life-changing from so many different perspectives, getting up and going on a game drive at the break of dawn, and then going on another one at sunset, meeting the people in South Africa, the spirit of the people. It was just life-changing in a way that's hard to describe unless you've been there. If you've been there, you know, no words are necessary. If you haven't, no words suffice. I mean, you just have to see it and you have to experience it. I think the next destination that I'm super excited about is Japan. I mentioned that I'm going there in April. There's just, it seems like there's something just magical and it's calling to me. I know it's calling to many of our guests who have been traveling with us for years, who said, when is Garmini going to go to Japan? So I'm super excited about that. Not too far behind that is India. I'm also excited about India. I can't believe that's a bucket list box that I haven't ticked yet. But I know that's a growing destination, particularly in the world of golf and luxury. So I'm excited about that as well.
Well, I've been to both of those places. So if you need a Sherpa, just let me know. And yeah, I can help you with that. Operators are standing by. Just want to
come
say.
On, brother. Listen, I go, you go.
Hey, look, so when people who are so intrigued by this conversation, they want to get out and play some golf in some of these amazing destinations and want to use you to get them there, where can they go for more information?
You can go to our website at GarminiGolf.com. You can send us an email at experience@GarminiGolf.com. And one of the things that we love to do, we love to have a discovery call. We generally like to do that by Zoom so that we get a chance to spend a few minutes talking to people about, what's important to them. Because we don't do cookie cutter experiences. We really want to know if it's Michael and his group or Michael and his family or just Michael and a friend, right? We want to know what's important to the group. Tell us about the kind of food you like. Tell us about the kind of experiences that you like to have when you're not golfing. And so through that call, we feel like we get a better chance to create, curate, and produce the experience that's tailored just for Michael and his group.
That sounds amazing. And I think when people go to the website, they'll be so impressed, not only by what you do, just by what's available out there with using golf as an entry point, but it's the entire world that's available. And it's so good to have somebody like you who's so open to experiences, really, to making things happen for people, that you're into this business and giving them the opportunity to do that. So on behalf of everybody, I want to say thanks so much, not only for doing the show, but for making golf such an enjoyable thing to do.
It is a labor of passion. It is a labor of love, and one we never grow tired of. So thank you for giving us the opportunity to talk about it, brother.
Well, more to come, brother. Keep your phone on, because we'll definitely have you back on in the very near future, okay?
I love it, brother. Thanks for having us on.
You got it. That's Bud Garmini, the president of Garmini Golf. He does golf travel like nobody else does golf travel, and he's been to countries. I've done some traveling myself. I've been to Japan to play golf. I've been to India and played golf. And so you just see some of these places, and not only do you want to play golf there, you're crazy, quite frankly, if you don't want to do some of the other things that they have available. And that's Scotland and Ireland, the known places for golf, having the food there, getting to experience the culture there, getting to do a dance, sing a song in a pub. The other places, South Africa. South Africa is an amazing place. It's superb, and I'm so glad to see that they're organizing trips there. The world is your oyster when you're a golfer. So through Garmini, you have the opportunity to take advantage of that. And as my boy Ferris Bueller would say, I highly recommend that you do. We're going to take a quick break and come back with more golf and stuff. Michael Williams, 19th hole.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the 19th hole. Michael Williams, your host on this most blustery of days. It's still cold outside, and I still got my big cup of hot coffee here, just sipping and trying to stay warm. I'm trying to remember that someplace it's cool to play golf. No pun intended, but it's really, I still icy here, but we carry on, don't we? And, you know, I was just down at the PGA show, and it's always good to see all my good friends down there. And it's also good to catch up with what's new, what's different, what's special. And one product that goes into two categories, what's new and what's special, is Moto Caddy. I got to know Moto Caddy, as most Americans do, still on a trip to Europe. And Moto Caddy is it's an iconic name. You barely go to a golf course where you don't see Moto Caddy, which are motorized trolleys that help you by getting the cart around effortlessly, which allows you to walk, which allows you to get more of the benefits, more of the enjoyment out of a round of golf. And they are known everywhere and getting to be known here. It's a spectacular product. Joining me today to talk about that is someone who knows all about the product. He is the Vice President of Sales from Moto Caddy. Please welcome Andy Warren. Andy, welcome back to the 19th hole, sir.
Thanks, Michael. Good to be back.
Well, thank you. I just want to say for Moto Caddy, I know the product really, really well, as I said, from having visited countries like Ireland and Scotland and so many places around the world. Moto Caddy is a house name, still getting to be known in the U.S. But I'll just say, in general, how's it going with Moto Caddy? How's the company doing?
Yeah, the company's doing really well worldwide. And as you pointed out, our home market, where our global headquarters are, is in the U.K. And, you know, every time I go back to our offices or anywhere in Europe, you walk into a golf shop, be it a course or off course or major retailer. And it's funny to see electric caddies, as we refer to them, trolleys, other places. You hear different terminology depending on the country. You see them front and center, much more so than you would in the U.S. at this point. So, you know, they've got electric caddies sitting up front, and then, you know, you might have golf clubs and balls and gloves and the stuff you normally see prominently displayed at a U.S. golf shop. Those are more in the back because Moto Caddy products are front and center. And so we've seen good growth in our home market throughout continental Europe. The U.S., you know, for example, last year we saw a 40% growth in our green grass account base. So we're getting a more and more adoption, both from clubs, from consumers. They're buying it in all different places. And then just a few months ago, we launched our own business in Australia. We had sold our product there before, but opened up our own offices in Sydney to try to capture more of that market as well, because it's a big walking golf market. And so the company rolls on and continues to be number one in market share worldwide again for 2025.
Well, that's fantastic. And just put a pin in that, because I might be filling out an application to that Sydney office, because I've been to Sydney.
You got to get in line behind me.
Yeah. it's A-okay. I see you know what you know. But for those who don't know, theater of the mind here, with radio and podcasting and that sort of thing. For those who don't know Moto Caddy, give a good description of what the company is, what the product is, and why it's so beneficial for the golfer to use Moto Caddy.
Yeah, sure. So the company's been around for 22 years now. As I said, based in outside of London. And for the first really 15-ish years, that's where most of the business was in the UK.
Yeah.
And as the product became more and more widely adopted around the world, Moto Caddy has started to switch from using third-party distributors to opening up our own offices around the world, because there's just so much growth and we can service those markets better, like the U.S., by doing it ourselves versus relying on other companies. And so, you know, we make electric caddies, as we call them, trolleys. I believe in Australia, they actually refer to them as buggies. But they're essentially push carts with a motor. And in other parts of the world, they're using them where the person is guiding the product along. So you know, the motor will propel the product forward, that they're being steered by someone who's got their hands on it. But here in the US, we're actually heavily shifted towards with remote controls. And so that makes up about 85% of our business in the US is with remotes.
Quick time out. 85% is remote control. That's really interesting. Correct. I did not know that. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is kind of the inverse of a lot of the rest of the world. So like in the UK, it skews way more towards just a unit that you would be guiding by hand with a motor. And so, that has been a trend since day one when our US office opened about 5 years ago. And that has shown no signs of slowing down. We still offer the other product here, but that's where the adoption has been with the US consumer, be it at fleets for golf courses, direct to consumer, through our major retail partners, really everywhere. We see that number being pretty consistent across the board. And so we, like I said, we're the largest brand in the world in this space. We are seeing phenomenal growth in the US because we know that more people are walking. We know that more people are looking for product like ours, and we don't see any signs of it slowing down. So we're continuing to innovate and bring out new product, including 2026, and just trying to ride the wave of growth in this category in the US.
Well, see, this is really fascinating to me that you have so many products, so many carts, so many units that are sort of manual, if you will. You push the cart and it propels itself, and you sort of steer the cart, and as opposed to here where it's hands-free automated, 80%, you said, was that expected? Did you see that coming, if you will, going into the US? Did you think it would be more like the UK market?
Yeah, it's a good question. So, I've been with MotoCaddy just about 2 years now, and talking to people who've been in this space in the US longer than I have, the first wave of people who brought product electric caddies to the US tried to basically replicate what they saw in the UK, which was, you know, a non-remote unit. And then over time, retailers, golf courses, and of course the manufacturers have all learned that that's not where the US consumer is. And there's a bunch of different opinions as to why, but the end result is that that's where the market is. And it's not to say that we don't still offer them, obviously we do. It's a small percentage relative to the remote models, because you know, my personal opinion is that US consumers who are using these are mostly first time adopters. They haven't been using them for 15, 20 years like they have in other parts of the world. So, you know, if you're starting out for the first time buying an electric caddy, you're going to start with what's the newest, the latest, and what works the best and what provides the best experience, not what you've been accustomed to necessarily. And so that's where I think the remote product fits the US consumer a little bit better.
So it sort of suggests that in the UK and in other markets, the course is supplying the MotoCaddy cart, while in the US, it's the golfer themselves that are buying and bringing the golf cart to the course. Am I analyzing that right?
Yeah, you are. There's still a lot of people in the UK that, or in other parts of the world, that will buy their own and bring it to the course. But there's definitely a it's definitely a different mix here in the US.
Yeah.
In the US, we don't have as many operators of courses that have purchased fleets from us or from other brands and use them as rentals. But that has actually, one of the themes that we saw in Orlando at PGA show recently was more and more clubs thinking about our product as a rental opportunity. Thinking about it more in terms of a golf cart fleet, kind of akin to that, or a standard push cart fleet, as a lot of courses have. Thinking about our product more on those lines versus a retail product that they would bring in and sell to their customers. So we're fine either way, obviously, but we see more and more courses, particularly on the private club side, that are thinking about this as a product they could own their own fleet. That's definitely changing over time.
That's really fascinating, though, the breakdown and how it changes from the U.S. And it shows that the U.S., as with many things, is just a very different animal than other markets. But sales are sales, and congratulations on doing so well there. The game is growing now. We have more people coming into the game, more people playing the game every everybody who measures statistics will tell you that. It's been a great year. We've had three great years in a row. Does that coincide with what you're seeing at MotoCaddy? And are the new people who are coming into the game, are they adopting and adapting to the MotoCaddy as well as established golfers, let's say?
Yeah, it's a really good point. I think if you were to look at our category, say 5 or 10 years ago in the US, a lot of people would look at it and say, well, that's something that older golfers use, right? And what we've actually learned through our own research is that actually the users of electric caddies in the US skew slightly younger than the median US golfer. Not by a lot, but a little bit. And so we think that indicates that we've got a lot of room to grow where golf is growing, which is on with younger players, right? Right now, we see that as rates as more people are playing golf, walking rates continue to increase a little bit year by year. The USGA and others have done research on that, and we definitely see that in our own business. The adoption rate grows a little bit every single year. Mm-hmm. Which is great for us, as you can imagine, right? It's the largest golf market in the world. And so we don't have the adoption rates of the product anywhere close to it that we do in, say, the UK, but we're coming from a much bigger pie. And the pie for us continues to grow every year. And then our little slice of the pie for people using electric caddies grows within that as well. So we're definitely in the right category at the right time. There's a lot of macro trends that are pushing people towards our product. Including, you know, people wanting to have more health and wellness focus around golf and just kind of life in general post COVID, and a lot of other things. But we definitely see the category growing for years to come. And, you know, it's the number one brand in the world. We're in a great position to capture a lot of that here in the US.
Yeah. Number one with a bullet. I mean, it's a spectacular product, and I've watched you over the years grow from just sort of the basic MotoCaddy, the one that I first had an opportunity to use at a UK course. And it has more features, more benefits than ever before. Talk a little bit about what's coming up for 2026. Talk about the models and some of the features that you were most proud of.
Sure. So I'll start with our flagship product, which is a new version for 2026, the M7 GPS. It's got everything for us. It's got the remote control, which, as we talked about, is where our consumer is right now. We've got a product that has worked well for years. But the biggest change for us is in the GPS software this year. It is completely revamped. And without getting too far into the weeds on that, the user experience on the GPS is so much better this year. Tons of customization, the ability to have full hole mapping without having to have your phone paired to it. So it's got 40,000 courses completely free for the life of the product, already loaded into the unit when you buy it. So, you know, before we would have had to pair your phone up to it to get all the features. You just turn it on and go. And, you know, all of the things that have made MotoCaddy product great for so many years, with the handling, the stability with the anti-tip wheel, the front wheel helping to stabilize it from going straight, to keep it going straight on side hills, our click and connect battery, which we debuted a couple of years ago, carries on for us this year to just make that much better experience. So the M7 GPS, like I said, is our flagship product, but actually our number one seller in the US is the M7 remote. So it's essentially the same thing, except for the GPS screen doesn't have a GPS screen. Still right. Remote control, right. Still looks exactly the same, but with a standard display, which has grown to 2.8 inches this year, much clearer, a couple different things like round timer, total distance walked during the round, things of that nature added in. But those were our two main products for this year, the M7 series. And then we go down into the M5 and the M1. Those are the non-remote products, which we still sell quite a lot of, but nowhere near as much at the M7 series. So all new product for us this year. And then that's before we even get into our new line of golf bags and added accessories. It's a completely new line for us this year. And we're really excited about it.
That's what I was going to mention is the accessories there, because you have bags, you have the cup holders, you have ball holders, you have scorecard holders. Basically, there is nothing that a cart can't do, that a moto caddy can't do, that a moto caddy can't do. But what the moto caddy can do is give you the benefit of that exercise. And it's something we haven't mentioned. We've talked about the benefits of the cart itself, the features of it, and that sort of thing. But the benefit to the golfer is really the hidden story here. Walking is better than riding. It really is, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's more and more compelling data coming out every year. There was a study I saw not too long ago that was comparing, you know, not just calories burned, steps taken, the stuff that seems the most obvious, but actual performance improvement, where your scores are lower using an electric caddy versus riding or using a standard push cart. You'll start to hear more of that from us this year through our marketing team. But I mean, ultimately, that's what it's going to come down to. I think there's a lot of people that sit on the fence of, well, you know, do I want to try an electric caddy? Do I want to walk? Do I want to ride? I think there's a lot of people that have come to the category because of the health and wellness component. I think we open up an entirely new segment of the market for us when we can start to tell the story of it improves your game. You know, now I've got a lot of friends that work in other manufacturers in the industry, and you know, nobody at the big golf club manufacturers is going to come out and say that there's data showing a new driver this year is going to improve your score by X amount of shots. We now have access to some of that data that shows that using an electric caddy improves your game. And so when we can tell that story, I think it just opens up a whole new world for us in the U.S. market and really around the world.
I think that's fascinating. I think that's going to be the key to what opens this whole thing up for you, because everybody wants to play, but everybody who plays wants to play well. And if you can give people a product that helps them to play better and enjoy the game more, I think you've got a winner. People can take a look at these products too. Give us a website where people can take a look at it, get some pricing, and maybe get one in their house.
Absolutely. So you can see our product. Best place to go, motocaddy.us. You can go to .com, and then our UK site will kick you over to ours, so you can see it in dollars. But that's the best place to find everything. You'll also see it around the country in retailers, both online and in store. As a PGA professional myself, I will always tell consumers, go support your local PGA professional and ask them about purchasing the moto caddy through them as well. Little plug for my organization there.
Nicely done, my friend. Well played.
Yes.
And that's motocaddy.us, correct?
Yes, sir. That's right.
Beautiful. I still got my basic spelling skills. Andy, really, congratulations on everything that you've done in the U.S. And I know you're just getting started. I mean, around the world and in the U.S., it's a superior product. It's a one of a kind, and I think it's an essential product. And good luck to you in the future for anything you do. And any news you have to report, please make sure that you come here and give our fans the first word, okay?
Will do, Michael. Appreciate you having me on today.
You got it. That is Andy Warren, VP of Sales at Moto Caddy. Look, this product, since I've seen it, has come from a basic carry your clubs kind of thing to it literally does everything that a cart can do for you. And you can do things for yourself that you can't do on a cart, which is improve your health, improve your enjoyment of the game. And as Andy was saying, improve your scoring in the game. And there is nothing that makes you play more golf than playing better golf. So if you can get all of those things in one package, why wouldn't you, is my question. Why wouldn't you do it? Believe me, once you try a round with Moto Caddy, I'll be very surprised if you go another way, because I love them. I just love them. And I love it seeing becoming more available in the U.S. That's an awesome thing. We're going to take a quick break right now, though. And when we come back, we will give you more golf and more stuff. Michael Williams, 19th hole. Well, as we so often say on this show, that's it and that's all for this edition of the 19th Hole. I want to thank my very special guest, Bud Garmany, who has become just a very close friend, and he just knows everything about golf travel. You could not do better than to go with Bud Garmany and see what it is he has in store. He'll work with you. You can accept a package that he has already created in his mind, or you can work together to do a custom package. I think either way, you're going to get more than you ever hoped for out of a golf trip, a golf experience, as Bud likes to say. And of course, we want to thank the guys from Moto Caddy. That thing, I used it, I have used it, I still use it whenever I possibly can. And the Moto Caddy is just an extraordinary instrument. It really heightens your experience of the game. It heightens your love of the game. It lets you walk freely. I'm not a guy who loves carrying a bag anymore. And some of the carts that they have at courses, even the best courses, are kind of crappy, let's face it. So you get this Moto Caddy out there, and it just increases your enjoyment of the game by a factor of 10. And I really highly recommend it. You got to get your hands on one. So thank you to the guys at Moto Caddy for making all that happen. You can hear this show and all the other shows that have been done on the 19th Hole on Apple Podcasts. You can also hear us on Spotify and other places where great podcasts are domiciled. Thank you, as always, for listening. We do it all for you. We look forward to bringing you another show next week, bringing you the best of golf and golf lifestyle. Until then, try to stay warm and go out and hit some balls, maybe some wedges if you can't hit a full club, if it's too cold or something like that. But whatever you hit, do try your very best to hit them straight. Michael Williams, 19th Hole.